something went on here, something went on there. And
tonight on TNT,
your suggestions for Jeremy's band name.
We trade "This Can't Be Happening" stories
and a brand new game, Gang Yes or Gang No, coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Jeremy Taggart, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. You were just at a charity harness racing tournament. Is this correct?
I don't know if that's what you'd call it. I guess so. In my hometown, this is Atlantic Grand Harness Racing Circuit Week. And so I was invited to compete on the bouncy horses. And they do this between the harness races a few times during the night. So I, of course, said yes. It was to raise money for a charity that I believe in my neighborhood. But long story short, though it's too late, I was accused of cheating. I won, and then I was accused of cheating. So there are these inflatable bouncy horses, almost like a sumo suit.
No, you just threw out though. You won, but did you just win, or was it I think I'm gonna win this thing, or was it easily winnable, or?
Well, I didn't. First of all, I don't really have a competitive bone in my body. I don't really care. I'm one of those people who, if it's a pickup game of basketball, I'm just happy to be there, like to have fun, like to make some nice passes. I'm not the guy who still thinks he's playing college, calling fouls on guys. I just enjoy playing. So
yeah.
There were three of us, some local radio and television folk, involved in this bouncy horse race. It turns out you're supposed to bounce on the bouncy horse. You're not supposed to squeeze it between your legs and run as fast as you can.
How do you bounce on it and get somewhere? I want to know that.
I don't know. I don't really understand the science behind it, but I did. I thought I was being a bud, because what I did was I very clearly got way out in front, and I heard someone's voice yell, "You're cheating."
Oh, in the race, it was thrown out
there. And I don't want to be branded a cheater.
Yeah.
So I turned around and was bouncing backwards, and I actually bounced back towards the other two dudes and turned around to try to make it a race. Turns out my athletic prowess was simply too much for them to compete with, and I won handily. Here's where it's a bit weird. People were betting on us, and the proceeds went to this charity, but I guess if you win, you get some money back. So people were irate that folks were cheating, in quotes. If you ask me, I feel like cheating requires some intent to be deceptive. I certainly wasn't. I wouldn't want to be branded a cheater, but it was one of these, is this really happening? The last thing I remember, did I black out? The last thing I remember, I was coming here to go on a bouncy horse race to help the people, and suddenly the crowd has turned on me.
There was people, was there actual boos or was there jeers?
I didn't hear any boos.
Just ill feeling.
I felt kind of dirty, and I felt like when I left, I kind of kept my head down and didn't really make eye contact with folks. It wasn't like, "Hey, J-Rock, that was fun." It was like silence.
What's up with the gambling part? Is it who gambles on this?
Well, it's a harness racing track.
So it's for charity. The gambling is for charity too?
Well, not during the races, but this is obviously kind of a gambling culture. And in fact, a couple of the charities that they'd reached out to early on to say, "We'd like to do this bouncy horse thing to benefit your society," folks said, "We can't be associated with gambling."
So this was this was just an off bet, just people gambling on the race for real.
Yeah.
The culture, as you say.
Yeah. It's a gambling culture. The harness racing.
They're getting mad was there a svelte, muscular person you were up against that would be the go-to guy? Or it physically, you got for me, you got to give some parity to the actual race.
Well, I would say, not to toot my own horn, but I would say if you looked at the three of us, you might assume I was a contender.
So these people that were upset, was it their family members that lost?
No, I guess they were sore losers. But what
just sore losers.
What I just come back to is, it's for the people. It's for a charity. So if you paid $5 to watch a thing, by the way, I would pay a lot more than that to watch folks that I've seen around jump on the bouncy horses. Like, I think, you know, if you win, really the right thing to do is, frankly, if you win on a charity race, you give your winnings to the charity too, no?
Yeah, for sure. No, the fact that there was people angry that they lost at Gamba betting against, like, you, like, was it like the other guy, like, looked kind of like the guy from NYPD Blue, like the cop?
Dennis Franz?
Yeah, like that why kind is of he, a guy.
Why is he your default, like, not going to win a bouncy horse well, race reference?
I'm thinking if you're like the go-ahead, like, probably stud of the bunch, I'm thinking the next level down might be that type of person in the running. And
well, maybe it's not like I'm Seabiscuit. Like, it's no, not like I was...
But why not, like, a Dennis Franz? He was pretty physical in that show.
Yeah, especially in the video for Goodbye Earl, the Dixie Chicks tune, where they wrapped him in a tarp and threw him over a bank. He was surprisingly bendy. Anyway,
you got it taken away from you, in a sense, so the huge asterisk with it.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. The organizer of the thing said... Oh, you were cheating, but I guess you just really wanted to win. I
was like, yeah, that's no, really,
I that don't, hurts a lot. That's not me at all. I don't care if I win. If it was the 1940s, the whole crowd would have ripped their tickets in half and thrown them up in the air. Yeah. And you would have heard a voice say, like, this is an outrage. Like, that's what it felt like.
So I could just see on the drive home that last line resonating, like, I came to help these people, and this is what I'm remembering this thing.
Came to help. Clearly, see what you get for trying to help the people. Yeah, but have you had those like, is this really happening moments?
Is this really happening moments? We've all had those ones where you're actually thinking of yourself in the third person of like, this could be a film, right? Yeah, now.
Out of body experiences. You must have had some.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've had some of them where it's like I'm being subject to behavior where it's like I wish I wasn't there, you
right?
Know, like, like, you know, say somebody in the band like losing it on an airline person because the flight's like delayed or
man,
something like ridiculous like that. Those kind of things where I just feel is this really happening? But that's not me in my own brain. One time when I was living in Manhattan Beach in California, I was cruising around on the beach and hanging around and doing what you do in California. And on a nice day off, I was smoking a joint on the beach. No big deal. Not far from Venice, where that's pretty much the norm. And all of a sudden, I saw some cops. Lights.
No.
And the old, like, what's going on down there? Like, pull the brake pull, and then they get out of the car, and then they're walking towards me, and I'm like, oh, well, come on. And at that point, I was like, is this really happening? Because I was pretty stoned, and it was one of those moments where you're wondering what's going on. Like, what is this an issue for real? Like, I live here. And these guys actually... kind of gave me an ask of like, what's going on? And I said, nothing's happening. And they said, what are you doing here? And I said, I live here. Next thing you know, I'm on my chest because I guess they smelled weed and I didn't have anything on me. I threw it away and it's a beach. So they didn't find anything, but they ended up throwing me in the car, the back of the car. And I went to the station, and they were just assuming I was like, I don't know,
a no good filthy hippie.
Yeah, just some guy who's like shouldn't be there and is causing a disturbance. And I ended up staying there all night, and I had no money. I had to sleep there, and I think it was like $300 it cost me, like, a, you know, for staying there, the fine or whatever.
That's terrifying. In a different country, terrifying.
Yeah, and, like, it was a classic example, sitting in the cell with three other guys that had innocent stories, you know, and just hanging out all night in the little tiny crappy jail in Torrance. It was very, I guess, safe in a sense, because it was, like, not full-on the population of a normal prison. It was just people that were in for being banged up or something like that. So it was intense, but it was kind of Tom Waits-esque. What's that movie? Down Crazy. By Law? Remember Down by Law with Tom Waits? That's a classic. It was very Down by Law.
And terrifying. Like, talk about a is-this-really-happening moment. Holy cow. I was pulled over by Chips in California for suspicion of drinking and driving, California Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
I'd had, truthfully, if I'm being honest with you, I'd had two drinks in about 2 and a bit hours.
Yeah.
The guy says he sees me leave the bar driving. I think the stat is on Friday night after 5 o'clock, 50% of the drivers on the roads in LA are impaired. It's something crazy like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's nowhere out, no other way to get around.
Right. It's so sprawling and spread out and whatever. So he said, can you step out of the car? And I was instantly so nervous. I had a work visa, but I'm Canadian and it's our nature anyway to be kind of sheepish. And he said, why are you so nervous? And I said, well, because this is terrifying. This is terrifying. You suspect that I'm wasted and I'm not. So he gives me 20 minutes of tests, which a friend who is a police officer told me the reasoning behind was because he was waiting for the last drink that I had at the bar to fully enter my bloodstream before he made me blow the breathalyzer.
Nice.
Yeah, nice on his part, terrifying on mine. But the tests were things I can't do when I'm sober. So one of the tests was, I'm going to get you to lean your head back, close your eyes, raise your right heel 6 inches off the ground, and point your toes forward, and count to 20 in steamboats. 1 steamboat, 2 steamboat, 3 steamboat. I got about to 4, which was pretty amazing.
How many could you do right now with nothing? I don't
probably
know if I
3.
Could get there.
Probably less. But stuff I could, like I say, I couldn't do when I was sober. So I blow the breathalyzer. He looked at me and said, well, you're clearly impaired. And I didn't say anything. And he said, where are you going tonight? And I said, I'm just going home. I live like a block from here. He said, okay, drive your car home. And if you're going to have any more to drink tonight, then just make sure you walk or call a cab. But terrifying, because in those moments, you can see the walls of your life crumbling down around you.
Yeah, no, because it's like it can easily be the DUI and that's the flag. And every time you go in and out of the country, you got an issue and you're screwed.
How long is a night in jail in Torrance?
It was a long jail, Mr. Torrance.
Yeah.
Long night in jail in Torrance.
I bet. Torrance.
It was ridiculous. It was, I had the jumpsuit on.
Do you still, did you really? Orange or stripes?
I had no money either, like nothing, and no wallet or anything. So
you had to call Sean Avery to come bail you out?
No, thank God the person that was in the cell with me was nice enough to give me a lift home, and they got out as well.
No.
They had like their girlfriend pick them up, and I went with them. They dropped me off. Or else I would have had to like walk.
Do you still
from Torrance to Manhattan
do you still stay
Beach.
In touch with your ex convict buddies?
Yeah, no, I never saw them again. I didn't even think to say, "Hey, let me buy you dinner or something." But
right, we had pen pals, nothing.
I think it was one of those nights where both of us were cool with just letting it go from there.
Right,
you know? One of those moments.
It was the drive of shame.
What about you for another classic like this is really happening moment?
Well, I'll tell you, this was a professional one, not a skirting the law one. But in 19-something, 90-something, there was the G7 was held in Halifax, and your Bill Clintons were here, and leaders from all over the world, Jacques Chirac, who was the leader of France, and some real heavy hitters.
Bigwigs.
By the way, Bill Clinton, I don't know if all U.S. presidents do, but Bill Clinton traveled with a lookalike, and there were two identical limousines, and the lookalike's job was to take the bullet if, hopefully, somebody tried to kill the president and fell for it.
Like, he doesn't do his job unless he's dead.
How do you find yourself doing that job? Well, I guess you look like Bill Clinton to start.
You didn't do your job today, did you? He's like holding his arm and he's sitting there.
Right.
Upset. I'm sorry.
Monica Lewinsky is in the mix to maybe be one of the new co-hosts on The View.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Is it?
Because they're bringing back Rosie. Awesome. They're bringing Rosie back.
Because of our podcast?
Yes.
We brought her name back to the public consciousness because of the thing on the bus with my sister.
The thing that we forgot again already, riding the bus with my sister.
Yeah.
Yep. And the buckle up your seatbelt.
So there was a lot of inconvenience around Halifax when the G7 was here. A lot of traffic blockades and things like that. So the city decided to throw a concert to say thank you to everyone. Sorry for the inconvenience. We appreciate your patience. So I was one of two hosts to host this two-stage concert. And I remember asking beforehand, because I was pretty young. I was in my early 20s or even late teens. Do I need to have like bits or material? And they were like, you know what? No. We have so many bands. We have two stages. We just want to keep the thing going. We don't want to hear your 8 minutes on airplane food or how different men and women are. Just keep it moving. You're like a traffic cop. That was, this is, that's it.
They were giving you like zero, making sure the last thing you do is ad lib 1 second.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't want any stand up, which is good because I'm not a stand up. So I divided the bands with the other dude. He would go out and say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome such and such. Without exception, every time I went up in front of 70,000 people, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And the stage manager would catch my eye and hold up seven fingers. Like, I'm sorry? What are you talking about? Can you stretch for 7 minutes? Because they were having technical difficulties with every one of my bands. Because as you know, they call it the turnover, right?
Yeah,
band A absolutely. Goes up, they play three songs. When they leave the stage, they need to buy some time to turn over to the next band.
And there's always little glitches that happen that have to be addressed to take 5 minutes.
Do you know how long 7 minutes is in front of 70,000 people?
That's half a set.
So there's a thing that happens when you're being booed by that many people where it's almost, I don't want to say erotic, but it's kind of a secret thrill to be marinating in that much hatred. And
but what brought on the anger at first? Did you try like perhaps maybe did some?
Oh, it was like when I say like Laura Smith was one of the people on the bill.
Yeah.
When I say Laura, you say Smith. Laura, no. Laura.
Were you being Jonathan or J-Rock?
J-Rock didn't exist yet.
Oh, too bad. I wish he had. That would have been easy as pie if you were J-Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, instead I was a nerd from Street Sense. Wow. Tap dancing in front of
stuff.
Yeah. It was Bad News Bears. And afterwards, as you sometimes do, you're kind of hanging around waiting for people to go, it was good, huh? It wasn't so bad. Nobody could look me in the eye.
Oh.
And it was my hometown, which added insult to injury. Anyway.
That's just
full. It was a bad one.
This isn't happening.
What's going on in the news, friend? Oh, guess what? I have some big news.
What's going on?
We talked about your big news last week. You have a new band.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to some of the name suggestions in just a moment. But I wanted to tell you something.
Yes.
I, with some friends, am starting a country band.
You are starting a country band?
Yeah.
For
we have
real.
Our first rehearsal on Monday night. And are you ready for the name?
I am.
Well, I'll tell you the two shortlisters, and then you tell me your favorite, and then I'll tell you which one we've settled on.
Okay.
The first one is the miniature ponies.
Okay.
The second one is Giddy Up.
All right.
Which do you like better? Hang on. Don't say it. On the count of three, I'll tell you the one we selected, and you say the one you like better, and see if it's the same.
Okay.
Are you ready? It's 1, 2, 3, go. Not 1, 2, 3. You ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, the miniature ponies.
Giddy Up.
Really?
I like Giddy Up more as a phrase, but I guess the miniature ponies is better for the band. You're correct.
Here's what my wife pointed out. Ponies are miniature horses. There's really no such thing as miniature ponies.
Yeah, so you kind of had a rough go on that. But it's still early.
It's still early, and I'm really fired up about it because we're going to, like a lot of bands, we're going to start as a cover band. And just putting the little set list together for some of the covers we're going to do, like Old Country and Sincere Country, not this New Country stuff.
What are you playing in this band?
Guitar and singing. You're
playing guitar. Yeah. Oh, nice. I didn't know you played guitar.
Oh, yeah. I've been known to whack away on the old Gibson Hummingbird.
Because I know you had a little bit of a history on the drums, but I didn't know you had a history on the guitar either.
My history on the drums is a very, very short one. I have, like most people do, kind of drum fantasies.
Yes, yes. But still.
Do you, as a drummer, have fantasies of, like, playing guitar or singing?
No. I would do that if I were fantasizing about it.
Right.
But, I mean, I fiddle around on guitar and other instruments just for fun and to get ideas a little bit. But I do wish I could play proficient on everything, but there's too much living to do, Jonathan.
Have you been practicing with your new combo?
Yes, Alex and Kurt. Yes, we did. We get together a couple times a week, actually.
Wicked.
We are getting closer to. We've got a bunch of ideas that we dig, and we're gonna get into the studio and start recording some ideas, get some demos together, and move forward. We're not doing anything huge in terms of like a big album or anything, but maybe a few songs for an EP to put some, do a couple shows.
That's the way the kids do it now.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a listen to some of the suggestions that folks sent in for names. There are some really good ones.
There are some classic names.
Based on someone else's suggestion, the J-Buds. I like the idea of the Buds.
The Buds.
B-A-H-D-S. Are you going to see the Buds? Alts on that include a couple of Buds.
It is a good name.
Vince O'Toole, friend of the family.
Yeah.
Suggested the Fords.
That's funny.
And your first single could be All Banged Up.
That is good. The Vince is Dan's wonderful brother who's very funny as well.
The Fords. It's pretty great.
The Fords, and you could have a lot of fun with that artwork too.
Maybe we could.
We could guarantee a show at Ford Fest.
I keep thinking like the Fords are going to seem of a time at a certain point, but it does not seem to be going away.
We have to get back to the Fords in a second after you go through some more of these names.
Oh yeah, we have some good Ford stuff coming.
Yeah.
The Ronnies, Lachlan McMillan suggested.
The Ronnies is good.
The Ronnies is a great name. It sounds like a 60s, like the Laws kind of name.
Yeah, I like that one. I've heard way worse, and I do like the 60s feeling of that. And of course, I am biased because of my dad.
The Ronnies. Jack Capone suggested 12th Story Massacre. Tyler Lofstrand, Holy Boats.
Holy Boats, that's a good one.
Holy Boats is great.
Yeah.
Have you guys had any notions?
We're kind of being cool about that because it's not really important right now.
Right.
You know? And it's almost like worrying about a video before a song is finished. It's just kind of like wagging the tail.
Right.
You know, of the dog in a sense. The tail wagging the dog in a sense. But I would say we'll probably be thinking about that stuff once we actually have songs and
I think the Ronnies and Holy Boats are my two short lists. The Fords is great too. That's got to be the top three.
I do like the Fords, but I'm hoping that is going to be one of those things that is not a talked about issue for long.
Well, let's take a little break and then we'll talk about it a little more.
Yes, we do. We do have to get back into this, and let's finish up here. A little break on TNT.
Be right back.
Where's my beer chair? Where's my beer
chair? Welcome back to Taggart and Torrens. I'm Jonathan Torrens.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Fantastic. So what's this Rob Ford and Snow thing?
Well, Rob Ford was, I guess, in his office today, and Darren O'Brien knocked on the door just to show his support. And he was in there just to kind of say hey, and apparently he's part of a community where he felt that Rob Ford has helped out, and he said he was clear to say that he doesn't know anything else about the campaign or who's running or what he said or he's saying. He just is showing his support. He doesn't know anything about the left wing or the right wing, but I'm supporting Rob Ford, basically, which I don't know
what
that
means.
That's what he said. Yeah, he's kind of in there and got some camera time, and I'm surprised I didn't hear an album drop, to be honest, the way it went down.
Like, I know nothing about any of this, but I have to go on record and say I really believe in Rob Ford.
They both have
the Bumbleclat thing going for them, right?
I also heard, yeah, I don't know if it was a joke, but he said that Rob Ford could speak better Jamaican than he can, but I don't. That doesn't make any sense if that's true, or why would he even say that?
I have a snow story.
You have a snow story.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. In 1990 something. Oh my God, did I peak too soon?
Did was he speaking patois when you met him?
He sure was.
He was?
Yeah. I did a show for CBC, and you have to remember it was a different time.
Yes.
But it was a comedy show for teenagers about AIDS.
Yeah.
And I know how crazy that sounds, but it was at the time when people still thought you could get AIDS from toilet seats, and there were lots of myths surrounding AIDS.
Yeah, and we just needed awareness at that point, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in my early career, did a lot of work for kids and Street Sense and Jonavision and things like that. You have to speak to teenagers in terms they understand. If it sounds too preachy or academic, you'll lose them. So there was kind of a movement around edutainment. If you make it kind of fun and funny, then, you know, teaspoon of sugar makes the medicine go down kind of theory.
Sure.
So I was the host of this show. Snow was the musical guest, and Informer was the number one song in the world at this time. He was huge. He'd had some brushes with the law.
He was our bad boy. I remember the in and outs of issues. He was a bad boy.
He was, and I should preface it by saying, when I met him then and since, he's been awesome. Perfect gentleman, very kind and gracious and all those things. But his legacy kind of preceded him a little bit. And it started with, I remember the production coordinator had to call him and say, we need to know your real name because we're trying to book Air Canada tickets for Snow and Too Tall, who was his bodyguard. And they won't let us book tickets for like passenger Too Tall, last call at the gate, please. So they fly in from Jamaica and they go to the whatever suites hotel on Bay Street. It wasn't to their liking. So on their way out to soundcheck, Snow tosses the key to the room back across the counter and says, this place is garbage. We won't be back. So they come to...
Big time's the place. Full on big time.
Big time's the place, yeah. Now, in fairness, it was one of those like... It wasn't a super swanky suites hotel. It was one of those places like, where can we get 60 rooms for $60 a night?
He had the number one song in the Billboard charts. He wasn't staying there.
Which, it should be noted, is an incredible feat.
Absolutely.
He really came out of nowhere and got incredible traction, not just in Canada, but all over the world. Like, he was Mr. Guy.
But he was rolling, and this was just, you know, whatever. I guess he was on that high. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not, but
well, as you were saying about Alanis, things exploded so quickly. So maybe he agreed to be on the show, which was called AIDS Care, Aid Scare.
Yep.
Maybe he agreed to be on that show 3 months ago, and his galaxy has changed in the last 3 months.
Okay.
So he comes to the sound check. He's, you know, kind of big time in the place a little bit, throwing water bottles around and stuff. Doesn't really want to be there. They take a 7-passenger Windstar van and a CBC driver out to pick up some ladies. They're kind of driving around and partying a bit and having some fun.
They want to pick up they needed some vibe, so they went out to bring some in.
Sure.
Yeah.
So 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, the novelty kind of wears off, and they go back to the hotel. Because Too Tall says, well, I still have my key. Why don't we just go back to that hotel?
Oh, that hotel again.
And Snow's like, sure, let's go back. So they go back to their room. The hotel has since taken Snow at his word and rebooked the room to two middle-aged women who are in town for a pantsuit convention or something.
Oh, my God.
So they're asleep in their room at 4 in the morning, and Too Tall, Snow, and the hoes roll in, mob deep, and these women bolt upright. Like, oh my gosh, what's happening? You can imagine it'd be kind of a scary sight.
This is really happening.
They call security.
Is this really happening? Sorry, that's this moment.
Is this really happening? Snow and his entourage are taken down to the lobby of the hotel. Security calls the cops because things escalate pretty quickly. When the cops come, it would have been sorted out like a Three's Company misunderstanding until Snow says, I'm going to kill your blood clot. Drops a blood clot on the cop, who cuffs him and puts him in the back of so Snow was turned in for Mark. So he's taken downtown, a licky boom boom down, and is in jail the entire night before our AIDS scare show.
He played himself.
Yeah. That's part one. Part two is, part of the way of speaking to teenagers in terms they understand is, sexpert Sue Johansson.
Oh, yes.
Very attractive 70-something.
We remember, yes.
Grandmother type, who's awesome.
She taught us everything that we know.
Yeah. And she was there to dispel some of the myths around AIDS. She was also there to roll a tire-sized condom over my entire body. And I was in a 6'6" ceramic penis head, so, and fuzzy slippers, and so she was rolling this over my head and showing how to properly pinch the tip and use a condom properly.
You had to bend over, obviously, for that part.
Yep, I was flaccid. Yep. So Snow's being arraigned during the dress rehearsal. He arrives at the venue, which is the Masonic Temple in Toronto.
Your face, was there a cutout of your face?
Yeah, there's a little cutout of my face. Yeah.
So when she's pinching the tip and you're like, yep,
that's it. And what do you do next, Sue? Well, you make sure there are no holes in it. All right. So I do the penis condom bit with Sue. I'm walking down the stairs as Snow enters the building. He's going on next. And
he's going on next. He's checking out the opening act.
Well, he smells like the Don Jail, like as you would. He spent the night in jail and went right to the courthouse and came right here. He was somehow sprung in time for our show.
Has he lightened up a bit on the throwing the bottles and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he wasn't being heavy at all. Like I say, perfect gentleman. So I'm going down the stairs in my penis costume. He's coming up the stairs. And a photographer grabs us and says, guys, we need a couple pictures of the host and the musical guest.
Of course. Yeah.
I was like, cool, let me change. There's no time. Excuse me? So I had my picture taken in the penis costume.
Yeah, nice.
Snow had his arm around me and was giving peace signs to the camera. So there's a picture in the CBC archives of me as a penis and Snow with his arm around me. A few years before J-Rock.
Just saying, what's up?
What's up? And like I say, he was very good-natured about it. Now, the one thing he did do, he had a song that went, "Girl, I've been hurt, now I need another lover." Remember that one?
I remember that was his follow-up, yeah.
Yeah, so for the purposes of this concert, he surprised everyone by changing it to, "Girl, you got AIDS, now I need another lover."
In that
kind
song.
Kind of undoing all the goodwill around AIDS education we had managed to create in the first 47 minutes of the show.
He sang that in his set?
Yeah.
That's how he worded it.
"Girl, you got AIDS, now I need another lover," yeah.
Seriously.
He told me something interesting about songwriting, though, and when you listen to his songs, it's true. He said that the best songs and the most memorable ones are the ones that sound like children's nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
And if you listen to, like, "Everybody Wants to Be Like You," that is very playgroundy. He's a great songwriter.
He definitely has the children's quality and perhaps the children's ignorance to some extent.
He also has, tell the truth, if you're driving in the Tagsmobile and Informer comes on, you're going to turn it up, right?
No. Not me.
Come on.
Me? Come on. You always do that to me.
Come on.
You expect me to be like, "Of course, JT." No, come man. On. At what station do I listen to that plays that? If it does, then I'll definitely change it. I can't.
What is your what's your musical guilty pleasure?
Well, it's usually quality players can play, you know, cheesy music. Like, I can handle them because the musicians were great and One Tin Soldier. You know what I mean? I won't turn that off because I can dig the players.
aren't your kids opening your ears and mind to things that you never would have listened to before? Like in our house, it's the Frozen soundtrack, and they've just discovered the Spice Girls.
Yeah, they don't.
So Wannabe plays in our house 80 times a day.
Yeah, they don't have control. My kids don't care to control the music. I just keep playing. They're used to me controlling the jukebox, I guess. I don't know.
So you're force feeding them musical vegetables instead of letting them eat candy with their ears.
Yeah, no, they know modern music. They, you know, they don't eat it up like playing certain music over and over, but they understand it and they don't mind it. So I don't say like Justin Bieber is the devil or anything like that to them. I just let them listen to whatever they want. But I play a lot of music all the time, and I try to keep it quiet. Like you said, yeah, it is the vegetables of the mind, and you don't realize the strength and the foundation that you're creating just by having it be a memory for them, you know, those kind of great records.
Well, we play great music too, but there's something pretty cute about little girls singing.
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Well, and I they have every right to want to play something and like it. I'm behind it 100%. They just haven't really done that yet. They're usually busy doing other stuff, and maybe my daughter will do that perhaps, but we'll see. And I will tell you. Maybe on episode 396 of
We should be so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a very quick break, and we're coming back with a brand new, soon-to-be game show sensation that's going to sweep the nation called Gang Yes or Gang No. I'm very excited. We'll be right back.
And we're back. What's up, JT?
I am so excited about this game show. We don't put a whole lot of thought or pre-production into this potty, but sometimes we come across something that I have real high hopes for. Colin Pranks was one.
Yeah.
The TV theme song game last week, I really enjoyed.
Yes.
But this, I think, has a level of absurdity to it that is right in your wheelhouse.
I love it already. I love it.
So it's called Gang Yes or Gang No.
Gang Yes or Gang No.
And the reason is because of Canadian master impressionist André-Philippe Gagnon, who can do a lot of voices.
Everybody.
Thousands, some would say.
He's our rich little.
He is.
Yeah.
And we are richer for having him as a fellow countryman.
He's heavy.
Here's what I'm going to do.
He is heavy Canadianity, we got to say, too.
Oh, heavy. Yeah, because he counts as like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone does an impression of André-Philippe Gagnon. Like, as a way to make a living. I'm an André-Philippe Gagnon impersonator.
That would be amazing. I would watch that.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't get booked
much. Does anybody really know what he sounds like other than that?
Maybe not. Maybe it's like Teller of Penn and Teller.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play you an audio clip, and you're trying to determine whether it's the real person or André-Philippe Gagnon.
Okay.
If it's the real person, you say Gagnès. If it's André-Philippe, you say Gagnon.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
One of the things he was most famous for is being able to do all of We Are the World by himself.
Okay.
So that's where we begin. Gagnès or Gagnon? Listen and tell me.
When the world must come together as one. There are people dying.
That's a, is that, that's a Gagnès, isn't it?
Or Gagnon.
That's a Gagnès. That's the real correct deal, isn't it?
That's a Gagnès.
Okay, good. I didn't want to get like overthrown there, but I initially I was like, well, that's not fair because it sounds so cheesy that it can't be the real thing. And then I was like, oh, it is.
I'm afraid that song just was that cheesy.
Oh, man, that song was cheesy.
Okay, here's a variation on the game. D.S. or Dion. Is this André-Philippe Gagnon doing Celine Dion? Or Celine Dion doing Celine Dion? D.S. or Dinon? Gagnès or Gagnon?
Wasn't that Celine? Gagnès?
No, it's neither. Hang on.
Oh, that was nothing. There was just a backup intro.
Zamfies or Zamfirno? Okay, here you go. Gagnès or Gagnon? Oh, come on.
Zamfir, yes. Zamfir, Gagnon.
I like that gang is French for win, too. Win yes or win no?
Zamfir was loaded.
On alcohol or with money?
It's so big, Zamfir.
Okay, Gagnès or Gagnon? You've got to be kidding
another
me.
Another bar. Let's go another 8.
Okay, here you go. Here we go. Gagnès or Gagnon?
Tonight in my dreams, I see you. I feel you.
Gagnès or Gagnon?
That was so hard to tell. I'm going to say that was a Gagnon. That was him, wasn't it?
Incorrect.
It was not.
That was a Gagnès.
That's Celine.
She's such a parody of herself.
That's for sure. I could just see him singing it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. So far, we have yet to hear Gagnon.
I know. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it.
Oh, man. Ooh. I thought for sure that was like, it was for sure that was him.
Alright, hang on. Okay, Gagnès or Gagnon? This is George W. Bush.
Thank you. Fellow citizens, for 8 years, it has been my honor to serve as your president.
Yes, or Daniel.
That has to be George Bush for real, right?
Yeah, that's a gang yes.
Okay, God.
The first decade of this new century has been a period of consequence.
That's like a man, he would just be killing it, like, over the top.
Oh, man.
I was like, this guy would be doing Vegas fucking 24-7 all night if he could do that kind of George Bush. All serious, doing a speech.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Is this Elton John or André Philippe Gagnon?
She packed my bags last night, free flight.
It's Elton John, wasn't it? It wasn't. Again, yes?
0 hour, 9 a.m.
What's your guess?
Ken, yes.
Yeah, correct, Ken, yes. Whew. Okay. You're doing really well.
Yeah. Ah.
All right. How about, here you go. Gagnas or Gagnon?
What the hell was that? Do that again.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, man. I don't know, what is that? I can't even hear it.
We are the world.
Oh,
Springsteen,
okay.
Or Gagnon?
I'm going to say that's Gagnon.
Yes.
Yeah. Just because of the poor sound quality.
Yeah. Good guess.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was funny. Okay, one more.
0 hours, 9 a.m. Hey, Elton John was too much.
We could do this with them.
Go.
We could do this with Christopher Walken, too.
Oh, for sure.
Like, is it real Christopher Walken or somebody who does an impression of him? Because even Walken does an impression of him now.
This is way better because he can do any music.
Okay, Gagnas or Gagnon?
Okay. Okay.
Gagnas or Gagnon?
Okay, it's Wild Horses, the great Mick Jagger. I'm gonna have to hear a little more, Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna have to say again, yes.
That's again, yes, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's a good one, though.
Why is this so funny?
I don't know, but it's really funny.
I think because you realize what a parody of themselves these people sound like. Oh, man, I guess we should stop playing.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time.
Yeah, I think we should call it, but that's a great game.
That's a great game. We have to come up with new ways to do that.
Yeah, for sure. It's very solid. Gang yes or gang.
Holy cow. Gang yes or gang no. Hey, the people could send us some on the Twitter machine suggestions for variations on that game, like Walken and other ones.
Yeah, perhaps other musicians that you've heard Gagnon do in the past.
Congratulations, you did really well.
Thanks. That was a great game. Congratulations on that spawnage of that game.
Gagnon or Gagnon. It's even fun to say.
It is. It absolutely is.
I'm doing my pleasure craft test because I want to have my boat card. I'm not saying I'm going to buy a boat, but I want to have the card. Are you a water craftsman?
Well, I live on water, but it's too small to have a big boat. I do like the odd canoe ride. I've never been a big boat guy, but I know people who are. And I guess it's more about if you need one or not, whether you're in a, and I guess where you are, you can use one.
Well, this is the rub. I'm taking the online course, and you have to study for 3 hours.
Ooh.
It tracks the number of time that you've been studying, and they won't let you write the master exam until you study for 3 hours.
Wow.
So it's broken down into chapters, and every chapter I take really copious notes on how many flares a vessel 9 meters is supposed to have and the difference between a PFD and a life jacket. And inevitably, you get to the quiz at the end of every chapter, and the questions are like, what color is a blue boat? The questions are so easy, but you can't jump ahead to just do the thing. And I keep playing this game with myself where I think the questions won't be that easy. And I'll be so annoyed if I get it wrong and I have to go back and do the chapter again. It is the perfectly devised test.
Wow. That's like having to get your diver's permit or something, all the intangible stuff that you need to know, right?
It's also just been so long since I've had to study anything.
Yeah.
Like the hand cramping and the notes and what have you.
Yeah, and you're talking about like a couple hours. Is it do you have to go into a classroom too at some point?
No, thankfully you can do it on the internet service. And I think we've established that I'm not a cheater.
Yeah.
But I can't even figure out how you would cheat. I guess if you had a second computer, you could search as each question came up, but I think the tests are timed too.
Yeah, there you go. You can't fool around on that.
But I've gotten 100% on the first three chapters, bud.
And what do you have to pass to get your boat license? What's your
80%?
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to have 80% right.
And you always know when you make a mistake in those things.
Yeah, they let you know. Well, they let you know.
No, you know in your own head. You're like, God, I knew it. I know.
Oh, here's here's a good one.
Okay.
Here's a great one. Gang yes or gang no? Gagnas or Gagnon?
So you're saying was that Henry Mancini's original Pink Panther or Gagnon? His mouth. That's Gagnas.
That's Ken, yes. That's Henry Mancini.
Yeah, that's why, because I know how badass that performance is. You can't screw that up.
Oh my gosh, that game is great.
It is a great game.
K-Bot.
K-Bot.
Nice chatting with you.
Absolutely. Well,
Jeremy Taggart, member of the Bods.
The Bods, and another one was, what was another one? Fuck Sakes. That was a good one.
That's a good band name, too.
Yeah, Fuck Sakes.
I've been thinking lately, if you wrote a song that had the F word in it, but you called it like Vuck You, V-U-C-K, would radio stations play it?
Well, there's so many bands with fuck in it that are actually popular, like Holy Fuck and Fucked Up, that they actually play their music anyway, and they usually just say F'd Up or They'll just say the letter. Yeah. It's happened so much that people, they'll get around it. They certainly don't use it. The effing bods. The bods.
Have a good week, bud. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week, JT.
Peace out, bud.
Peace out.
Fucking right, eh?